Hello, I'm Dr. Richard Friend. Taking control of and improving your health requires the most relevant and timely health information available. And University Medical Center is here to help with facts and advice about important health topics that you care about. We know that your health matters. Welcome to the Health Matters Podcast with your host, Mike Royer.
Hello, everyone. Welcome once again to another segment of Health Matters. My name is Mike Royer, and we welcome you to our interview that you can hear in its entirety on WVUA23.com at that website. University Medical Center plays the entire interview, makes it available for you. We turn these into podcasts, and you can see a portion of them on WVUA 23 News. The smart people that schedule our doctors and try to fit them into our schedule do a good job of communicating that with us, and I'm always pleased when I see Dr. Pamela Payne Foster's name on an upcoming segment because I enjoy visiting with her before the camera's on and Deering as well. It's good to see you again.
Good to see you again, Mike.
You have several passions, I'm sure, but we've talked mostly about folks that can't just flash their insurance card all the time and get most everything paid for. You are concerned not just about poor black people, but poor people in general and access to health.
Right.
That's a problem when it comes to a disease we've heard about now for about 35 or 40 years, and that's HIV and AIDS.
Right.
This month, this past March month, was a time where you focused on raising awareness, especially for women and girls. Where do we stand in that awareness and in that fight against this awful
disease? Good news is that over those 40 years, Mike, the treatments have gotten better. So we now, in our vision, see a way to eliminate HIV/AIDS in this country. But we still have to sort of have priority populations we look at so that we can get to zero. Our vision is to get completely to zero HIV/AIDS in this country and in Alabama.
I'm old enough to remember when AIDS was so scary, people that were just getting into sexually active times in their life used a
lot of... Including you?
Not me. Everyone but me, Dr. Foster. Everyone but me.
Yes, yes,
But there was real fear and real concern because HIV initially was almost, was a death sentence.
Yes, it sort of reminds you of COVID, right?
Absolutely.
Because we didn't know a lot about it. Yeah. We didn't even know it was a virus initially. And then when we found out, we were able to, you know, make drugs to treat it. And so the drugs have gotten much, much better. You remember 40 years ago, you know, people with HIV had to take multiple drugs multiple times a day. Yeah. Now we're down to one or two a day, so the treatments have gotten better. And guess what? We've even moved from the pills to injections. So you may have to just take an injection once every 2 months. So that's still gotten better.
Are we still losing folks who may have predisposed conditions that if they contact this disease, it's more dangerous for them?
We're not losing as many, but it's still we still have to pay attention to those who are affected. People are living longer with HIV/AIDS as well. Those, remember, it was an immediate death sentence.
Yes.
Now, if we can get people tested to even know that they're HIV positive early and then get them onto treatment quickly, we can actually bring their viral loads down. So we talk about this undetectable viral load. If you can bring it down to undetectable, then you can't transmit it to other people.
Oh, wow.
So that's a way for to really, we're talking about prevention as treatment. That's huge. U equals U is what we call it. But also getting people to, you know, we know there's a drop off with people starting taking their meds, but they have to take them every day, you know, because the virus is very tricky and can cause mutations. So that's our other challenge.
There's no point in having a National Women and Girls HIV/AIDS Awareness Day without making sure we understand what you want young girls and women to know that you're afraid they may not know.
Right,
What is the education process from your perspective?
So the theme this year was prevention and testing at every age, care and treatment at every stage.
Okay, and starting at about what age?
Teens, you know, sexually sexual transmission as well as drugs, IV drug use. Which can happen early, but the take-home message is that it does mainly affect men in this country, and really disproportionately affects blacks. So we want to take that take-home message. It does affect men, but also women. So women and girls are also at risk. So we want to really hit home that message that women and girls are also affected. And then disproportionately black women more than other groups. 11 times whites and Latinas, black women, and nationally, and 3 times as high in Alabama.
Do you know why?
There are lots of different reasons, really, for what puts people at risk. Mm-hmm. We talked about some of the social determinants of health.
Yes.
Transportation, you know, in Alabama is tough for even getting to appointments or even getting somewhere to get tested. We talked about poverty. We talked about other intersectionality issues like trauma. Trauma puts a woman at risk. So if she's had physical or sexual violence that puts her at risk, then maybe that she might take drugs to deal with those issues, depression, so all those
and do what they have to do to get those drugs.
Correct,
sometimes.
Correct. So all those put a woman at risk.
You mentioned something, I think the first time I ever interviewed you, mm-hmm. About AIDS, when you talked about there's a problem amongst men who may have a heterosexual relationship, mm-hmm. and family at home, but they are occasionally having sexual relations with other men.
Yeah.
And that's not something they're open about,
correct.
Comfortable being open about. And that's a hidden problem because
it's a hidden
they
problem.
May not come out and say, hey,
and
I
you
could
can imagine why it's hidden here in Alabama.
Well,
this
of
is
course.
A very religious
yes.
state. So we are in the Bible Belt. So that's a reason, because it could be dangerous for even men to even say, I'm gay, I'm
yes.
homosexual, so
yeah.
all those things.
Yeah.
And you know, the other thing I wanted to really point out, Mike, was, 30 years ago, we didn't have this other prevention tool. We've been trying to do a vaccine forever,
yeah.
Since the beginning of the epidemic. But we do have a prevention tool now called PrEP, pre-exposure prophylaxis. So any of those populations that are at risk can actually take a pill or the injection, like I was talking about, every 2 months, which really prevents you from getting HIV.
Without being diagnosed or having any symptoms.
Being diagnosed as HIV negative, taking that treatment will prevent you from getting HIV.
Well, there's our headline.
There you go.
There's our headline. Has
yeah.
this been out for a while?
It's been out for about since 2012, around
okay.
2012.
And seems to be successful.
It's successful, but the uptake has not been good in women, because I think the message we sent out initially was men should use this treatment,
yeah,
so it's available for women. That's the other message we want to get out. And the uptake in black men and women has not been as good as in white men. So we do want to get the message out that this is a tool, a wonderful primary prevention tool that is available.
I think I gather from the reading I've done that the initial symptoms of HIV are flu-like. If you have flu-like symptoms and get tested for flu and you don't have flu, you need more testing done.
But you know, the other take-home message is we'd like everybody to get tested on a regular basis, especially if you're at risk, if you're doing risky behaviors. So you don't know unless you're tested. So the flu-like thing can kind of get by you, or you might not have any symptoms. So testing is very important for this as well.
Not to be too light about this, but those of us, when we get our physicals every year,
mm-hmm.
if we had the infection, it would show up in blood tests. We don't have to ask for an HIV test.
You do have to ask. For,
no
but,
kidding.
But your point about it should be a part of our primary care.
So, but my physician in the same building you're in mm-hmm. doesn't do an HIV test unless I suggest
correct.
It'd be a good idea.
Or they suggest it. So we're really training providers to say this should be a part of a primary care package. Just like they asked me, you know, about my cholesterol.
Yeah, yeah.
They should ask me about my sexual
yeah.
behaviors mm-hmm. or drug behaviors, and then order the test. So mm-hmm. this is, we're really trying to make it part of primary care.
It should
so
be
great point.
It should be something we don't talk whisper about. It should
yes.
be something we talk openly about all
yes.
the time.
Yes, yes.
The only danger I have in my sexual life, being very open here, is my wife. If I was anywhere except where I'm supposed to be, that's my danger.
You know,
so there's no
that's
risk.
That's a good
of,
wife.
Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you more. You'll understand. Listen, you're serious about this, and I don't interview many doctors that are so passionate about a specific issue mm-hmm. because you see firsthand
right.
how it can claim
right.
lives. We appreciate your
sure.
care about that, your expertise,
and
as always, your time.
We do want to lift up the resources in the area. West, the Five Horizons is the AIDS service organization
yes.
here in West Alabama, so we want to lift them up as well.
And reach out to them if you
yes.
have questions or help.
Testing, treatment.
Anything.
Yes.
Very
yes.
good.
Yes.
Dr. Pamela Payne-Foster, always good to see you, and thank you again.
Thank you.
To learn more from us about these and other important health topics, visit cchs.ua.edu. And for all your primary health care needs, visit University Medical Center, with locations in Tuscaloosa, Northport, Demopolis, Fayette, and Carrollton. Thanks for listening.